I want to say that these are no small things that God is doing for us. These are no small words. They're worth heeding. They're worth committing ourselves to. When on Wednesday we spoke about a clear message, and I mentioned that the Lord had told me we were getting ready for transition, it's interesting, the emails that I received from around the country wondering about that. One person sent me the medical explanation of transition. And they said, whoa, I hope it's not this. Because the medical explanation of it is that it's sudden and it's intense and, you know, but it is the way that birth comes. And it can be long or it can be short. But the point of it is that it accelerates the process. Were a baby to have a trapeze to hold on to and refuse to enter transition, the baby would die holding on unless someone did something to get that baby out. Because the transition is what puts them into the place of birth. And the Lord said to me, when I said to Him, and as I mentioned, it's completely out of character. I don't ask God questions like this. And as I said it, I thought, what kind of a question is that? And as He answered it so suddenly, I thought, whoa, what kind of answer is that? Because He very clearly gave me a very direct answer. He said, we are preparing for transition. Now, on the one hand, the understanding that I received of that, or what my first understanding was, is that in the transition, there is going to be that time where, as the Lord said to Israel, I'm going to show there's a difference between my people and your people. I had that sensing of the transition being that outpouring of the Lord upon those who are in the place, you know, those who are under the spout where the glory comes out. Now, needless to say, I have continued to seek Him, and He has continued to talk to me about it, even when I wasn't seeking Him, because I need clarification about that. I'm still getting understanding, and as you get understanding, you go right on ahead, and we will put it all together just as we want to put together these words that the Lord is giving us. Those of you who checked your email know that we sort of put together the word that came last Sunday about knowing the Lord. Saying that He is great, but we will know that He is far greater than we know. Saying that He is able, but knowing that He is far more able than we will know. Having His promise now this morning, and then having Him say, the more you seek Me, the closer you get to Me. And Him having said that He lives in us, I dwell in you. Having Him say to us, I am for you. Receive that. I am for you. This is not some sort of a religiosity or something that we get together for on a Sunday morning at Hosanna or on a Wednesday night at Hosanna. This is something that heaven is saying. One thing that really spoke to me when he was saying through Sue, and we need to get all of that together that we can, but part of that being that He would produce that peace that passes understanding. How many need peace that passes understanding? How many of you believe that somewhere between now and the time that Jesus returned, you will run into something where that peace promise is going to be very applicable? Amen. You know? So, don't get so peaceful that you doze off here though, okay? Let's not get slain in the Spirit today. Let's get what the Lord says. If we have to walk around and dance, do it. But the thing is we want to begin to do, because here's the deal. The Lord is preparing for transition, and we are the ones that are to transition. We are the ones. He is preparing for us to transition. He is preparing for us to step across the line, as we said oh so long ago. He is preparing for us to step into praise. He is preparing for us to step into trust. If you'll trust Me, He said. You can know about Him, you can know of Him, you can spend time with Him, but whether you trust Him or not, that's a whole other thing. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We'll remember the name of the Lord our God. Transitioning into the understanding and depending upon how dependent we are upon the Lord. Okay? Are you dependent upon the Lord? You are the only one that can answer that. I was listening to someone talk about trusting the Lord, and I was reminded of years ago, there was a lady that came over here to church, we prayed for her, and the Lord just told me to tell her, you don't trust the Lord. She was adamant that she trusted the Lord. She didn't trust the Lord. I wouldn't tell her she didn't trust the Lord if the Lord didn't tell me to tell her she didn't trust the Lord. She was adamant, well, yes, I trust the Lord. I said, you believe in Him, you know about Him, you don't trust Him. I was right. It wasn't I that was right, it was the Lord that was right. He's never wrong. He's never wrong. He's not hard to hear, we're just slow to listen. If we get caught up in understanding, well, this is the goodness of God, and I got the good life, and God is my God, and He shows me favor, and we don't pay any attention to Him, and we don't transition closer and closer and closer to Him, we'll be like a frog in hot water. We'll just basically turn up the temperature on ourselves. We'll decide we're okay, but you'll never experience all that God has intended for you. I want to read to you what the Lord gave me as I continued to seek the Lord and try to find the things. Preparing for transition, first I must back up and say that He does not force transition. He doesn't force anything upon us. He does not force transition. As in the birth process, transition comes. When it comes, it is intense. It can last long or short, but it must come before the life is produced. At first, when I meditated on this, I was seeing the transition as heaven initiated. But last night, I saw that we are what it is. We are initiated to transition. We transition here, resulting in the birth of something that God has prepared. Now, God confirmed that today. He confirmed that through what Jordan experienced yesterday. God sent someone he did not know to a park where he'd never been to tell him, you gotta trust me, boy. You can trust me more than you know. Because we are one, because we are united by the Spirit of God, we have the privilege of hearing that as well. Because then that becomes our promise. Doran, you need this promise too. Jesus came so we could have these promises. As the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, so, and she conceived, so the Holy Spirit is becoming upon us to produce transition in our lives, making a way for the Lord's outpouring. As the Spirit poured out on Mary, you know, remember from the Bible how the Spirit poured out on Mary, and as that Spirit came upon Mary, she was impregnated with the life of Jesus Christ, and she gave birth to that. As the Spirit poured out on Mary, so that Spirit is pouring out on us to give us a transition into the life that He has for us now. In other words, there is a breathing going out, and we need to focus on breathing it in. Taking it in. Not just standing beside it. Not just saying, well, that's really nice. I hope that, you know, those that are so inclined will get it. You can have this too. How many of you would stand back if they said everybody that gets up here in the next 3 seconds will get a $1,000 bill? If you wouldn't get up out of your chair and get up here for a $1,000 bill, there's something wrong with you. If you wouldn't at least get out of your chair and get it to give it to somebody else, there's something wrong with you. Right? How many of you would just sit there and say, well, that's nice, I hope somebody else gets them? Thank you. I'm glad to be able to report to whoever listens to this tape that this is a smart church. No one said they would just sit there and let everybody else have it. So are you just going to sit there and let everybody else have what the Lord is pouring out for you now? Are you going to just stand by? Are you just going to let it slide off your shoulders? Are you just going to say, well, that was pretty intense for a little while. I'm glad he got done. Or are you receiving this as the word engrafted? Are you hungering? Do you have any desire to transition? Only you can answer that. I just can ask the questions. I'm excited. I am excited that the Lord is pouring out His Spirit upon me, that is pouring over me for me to become impregnated and transition and give birth to this. I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. It's Him. I want it. Do you want it?
Amen.
Really? Good. I must be a spellbinding speaker. Okay. Whosoever believes and receives will have opportunity to know His greatness and how able He is to an exponential degree. Do you understand what exponential is? Exponential is times. It's not plus, 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 plus. It's times. It's like, okay, the old thing they say, if you save a penny a day, that doesn't seem like much. But if you double it each day, by the time you've saved for a while, you're saving a lot. Exponential is the doubling. And the doubling, 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 and the doubling. Who can keep up with that? 2 times 2, 4. You got it. 4 times 4? 8 times 8? You know? The doubling, the doubling, the doubling, the doubling. Eventually, most people will run out of the ability to keep up with it. Now, there are people that are mathematical. God's bigger than their mathematical minds to produce this, okay? So, there can be no life without transition. God does not take babies out of the womb. Don't expect Him to start with you. In other words, don't expect Him to take you and make you transition. Don't expect Him to pick you up and put you in that place where He's going to pour it out. He's waiting for you to transition, to want to get to that place no matter what, to fight your way through to get to that place. Any of you ever watched The American Gladiator? In The American Gladiator, they have one thing where a person is going to run through a bunch of these people that have these big pads to stop them from getting there. When I played football, we used to play American Gladiator. Basically, you had to get from point A to point B, and there were rails to keep you from getting through without going right through it. Okay? We need to believe what the Lord says enough to go right through whatever it takes. First thing we'll probably have to go through on many occasions is ourselves. Our selfishness, our neglect of our spiritual life, our, you know, thinking that, hey, I just don't have time for that. Well, that's the first thing we have to go through. We have to get through our own resistance. Don't blame it on the devil. Once you're through your resistance, the devil will be easy. You're the hardest one to overcome. He has empowered you. God has empowered you to overcome the devil. Only you can overcome you by the Spirit of God, because He won't make you. Okay, so, and I mentioned before, transition birth. Here she would ultimately die if someone held on. He or she would ultimately die. Those who resist and refuse transition will ultimately die spiritually. As we come into a time where the Lord is pouring it out, people become discouraged if they don't flow in what's there. And again, now I'm not talking about, I don't know about heaven. I don't know about you getting to heaven. That's God's choice. But I'm telling you that if you don't transition and if you don't join in to what the Lord is doing, you will spiritually die. You'll just stop somewhere. You'll just sit down and that's where you'll be. And maybe it'll be good enough to get to heaven. But most of the time when people sit down and they're missing what everything else is going on, what happens to them? They sit and they feel sorry for themselves because this is happening here and this is happening there and good things are going on there. And pretty soon not only are they feeling sorry for themselves, but they're critical of the people that are in it and the things that are happening for them because, oh, they think they're so much. No, they think God so much. Do you think God so much? I think God so much. I think He's so much more than we know. He thinks He's so much more than we know. He has specifically told us that now 2 weeks in a row and many times before. You don't know how great I am, God says. But you're going to find out. How many want to find out? You know? I mean, even when things are going pretty good, you got to understand He's greater than that. And we're going to need Him to be greater than that. You will need Him to be greater than that. Because He isn't preparing a transition for no reason. Just like He never sent His Son for no reason. Remember, we said, why did He come? He came to destroy the works of the enemy. It's all part of the destruction of the works of the enemy. It's all part of the plan. We're going to get to the message, but we've got to get through this first, okay? Okay, so... Yes, we'll ultimately die spiritually. Producing no life and receiving nothing of what God has prepared for this expanding of understanding. Now back to the first impressions of His expression when He said, preparing for transition. I thought without speaking, and He knew, so He quickly said, no, not the end of times, and Jesus returned. Transition, then, is a shift, whereby the Lord is going to show that there's a difference in and for His people, and the world, or the devil's people, or Egypt. A time of acceleration in favor and power of God upon those who seek Him, or transition, removing any doubt that the Lord is with us. This will, of course, create some havoc in the churches, as some receive and some do not. This will offer opportunity to turn in or turn away. As Yvonne said on Wednesday night, she said she just really, really felt that, you know, the Lord's looking for unity, and He is. But as you and I both know, when God does something like this, it will create division because Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but division. In other words, there will be a turning against. There will be those who turn in by transition and those who turn away. That doesn't mean they walk away from God and begin to live, you know, ravenously or awfully like the prodigal son. It just simply means that they come to a place where they say, this is too much. This happened in the Bible. Remember when Jesus was telling them about, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. We're going to do that later. When Jesus said that, many of them turned away. They said, this is too much. This is too hard to understand. Folks, this is not too hard to understand. If it was too hard to understand, He would not have told me to tell you. I ain't stupid. I have the mind of Christ, but I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, okay? But I understand God a little. And I'm beginning to understand Him more. And I'm more and more amazed at why. Why, Lord? What were You thinking to save me? He saw somebody that could go no further down. And was ready to come up. I don't know why. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. We are sitting in a transition of the Lord. If you ever take enough time to really consider it, it's a miracle that we are here. That this place is built, that we have continued on. They write me letters now telling me that we are about to celebrate our 25th anniversary. They want to sell me little emblems and things that we can say 25th anniversary. It's nice of them to remind me that this is our 25th anniversary. Not in this building. 22 here. May of 1988. It's written in the concrete. 25 years since Hosanna Restoration Church started. That's a miracle. And somebody back then prophesied, after they'd already prophesied something else, after they prophesied it was of the devil, then they changed and they said, well, if it lasts, we'll know it's of God. How long do you have to last to know it's of God? 25 years? I think we can transition, don't you? For some, that transition may involve just being returned to the first love. Stirring up the first love. Experiencing the first love. You know. Sometimes people think that if you weren't a terrible, terrible sinner, that there just isn't as great of an opportunity to love God. Even though the Bible says those who are forgiven much love much, it doesn't mean you can't love just as much. Because we all were great sinners. We maybe didn't all commit the exact same sins. Think about it. Is doing drugs or getting drunk a worse sin than not bothering to listen to God? No. No, it's not. Because to obey, that's better than sacrifice. Okay. So then, we have, I just want to read that last part. This will offer opportunity to turn in or turn away. To turn in or turn away. You ever miss your exit on the freeway? And then you drove by where you were going and you said, oh, I could have turned in there. I did it yesterday. I knew it was coming. I'll remember now where it was, but I had to turn around and go back. Transition offers us the opportunity to turn in or turn away. In other words, you can turn into what the Lord has said today. You can turn into that spot. You can park in that spot, and you can watch the whole show. You can get the whole thing, or you can drive on by. You ever drive by a drive-in theater? There aren't very many of them left, but have you ever driven by a drive-in theater and you could see what was playing? And then you can't see it anymore. If you wanted to see it, you had to turn in. We've all glimpsed transitions one way. Along the way. I'm sorry, I've got to be able to read my own writing here. But this one will be an international display. Okay? We've all had individual transitions. You've had places in your life where you gave birth to something. Sometimes they were holy children and sometimes they were unholy children. Yes? I mean, sometimes we have a transition with an opportunity to get real angry. And then we have the opportunity to give birth to and not sin or sin. Okay, this transition, God's getting ready for us to transition in and transition into the place where the Holy Spirit has greater and greater sway in our lives, so that as that person told Jordan in that park, I'll give you what you want. And Jordan, because he has read the word a little bit, but he hasn't paid that close of attention to his father all the time, knew that he would supply our needs according to his riches and glory. But we all know that Jesus has even said, whatever you ask, I will give to you. And so the Lord went to all that to go to him, to let him know, if you'll trust me, I'll not only supply your needs, I'll give you what you want. Anybody want to receive that along with him? I'll receive that along with him. I'll say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so then the lights will steadily come on and on until, well, I don't know it all. That's what I wrote. But you think of it as a way of the lights coming on. If you are in a city and you see an apartment house in a city, at different times you will see lights come on. When I get up in the morning, if I don't see lights on at my neighbor's house, I figure they're either gone or something could be wrong. That light tells me. Probably in the same way that if they're up in the night and they see my light on, they'll say, well, Roger's up early this morning, or I wonder what's going on there, because we know one another. If you're in a city, you'll see lights come on in different places. And later on, you'll see their all on, everywhere that somebody is home. And as the Lord transitions, and as He prepares for transition, and as we transition, that light's going to come on. And our light's going to become brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and each one is going to come on. As Levon said, you know, I just want to be used by you. And God said, I don't want to use you, I just want to love you. So that the light says, man, there's a love fest going on there. Man, they must be getting, you know, they must be getting intimate. There's going to be some babies born out of that. You get intimate, you give birth to something. You kids who didn't know that, that's what happened with your parents. Your parents who didn't know that, that's how the kid came. Okay? But this transition will produce intimacy. Intimacy will produce life. If we try to produce life without being intimate with God, we're just going to produce whatever kind of baby we want to. The first step in this transition is to love the Lord your God with all your heart like you never loved the Lord your God with all your heart before. And get that in and in and in and in until it can't stay in. Until it just begins to spill out in other things. Okay, so are we desirous of transition? Wait a minute. Got to go back. I don't know at all. I sense this much and think this much. Perhaps I'm imagining, but God recently said, you will know my greatness beyond what you can imagine, and that I am able beyond what you can imagine. So what I said, I may be imagining it, but then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, yes, but I just said, you'll know my greatness and you'll know how able I am beyond what you can imagine. And that takes me back to many years ago when I was trying to decide what in the world the Lord was doing. And I asked the Lord, because someone had asked me, you know, is this real, Roger, or are you just making this up, you know, because something else wasn't going right in your life? And I said, well, I never thought about that question. It's sort of like somebody asking me, do you have any regrets over what you gave up to become a Christian? I'm going, gee. I thought this was a pretty good deal. Personally, I like it a lot better. But, you know, people ask me questions. I'm willing to you know, consider their questions. And so I went to the Lord with the last question. I knew the answer, though. But I went to the Lord with the question of, Lord, am I just making this up? And His response was so wonderful. You're not that smart, Roger. He was right. And He spoke it to me in a language that I could understand best. He didn't He didn't make a theology out of it. He just simply said, Roger, you're not that smart. You couldn't have done this. Well, bless God, that's a liberating statement. I didn't feel abused when He said, Roger, you're not that smart. I felt privileged that He loved me and would speak to me so clearly. So, are we desirous of transition? Are we tired of being pregnant and plugging along and lugging this thing around? Okay? Religion, the mundane Christianity becomes a burden to lug around. Forgive me. If it's Jordan, I don't want to miss that. I don't know who that is. He's supposed to be checking in. But Christianity, if it's not life, and if you're not being lifted up by it, it becomes something to just lug around, isn't it? It's business as usual. We've been doing this for 25 years. You know? You can experience some of the benefits, and it can keep getting better every day, or you can experience not that many of the benefits, but it's better than the alternative. I don't want to go to hell. You know, running around with the attitude of I'm not going to go to hell is sort of heavy. At least I'm not going to hell. Like my mom saying, yes, Roger, you'd have gone to hell, but I didn't want you to. Oh, that's good news. You know, I think there are parents who just tell their kids to go to hell. Not mine. My kids are going to be with me. Hallelujah. We're going to have us a good time. But anyway, so are we tired of lugging around just so much? Are we ready to transition? Do we believe that there is way more? Not just more, but way more. And that way more is way better. And that way better is the way we want to go. Do we? Okay, so that's what we do. We lug our faith around. Sometimes we're excited about it. Sometimes it's a burden and uncomfortable, a pain, and we have to shift around to get comfortable. You ever, I've never been pregnant myself, but I've been around a pregnant woman quite a few times and several other pregnant women. And have you ever noticed that pregnant women are, a lot of times, the more pregnant they get, the more they're shifting around trying to get comfortable? Yeah. And trying to get comfortable, and I've never yet met one that wasn't somewhere within a couple of months saying, I'll be glad when this is over. I'm ready to give birth. I'm ready to carry this baby in my arms. Even those that have been told horror stories about how terrible childbirth and child delivery is, ultimately by the end, are happy for transition and getting this over with, because they've heard people say, but once it's over, you don't even think about it much. Unless, of course, there are those kind people that will remind you, oh, that's the worst thing in my life. You know, that's got to be a good feeling for a child to have their mother say, that was the worst experience of my life. I know, I've never had a baby, so who am I to talk, okay? But it's true. It's true. I've been around it. I felt your pain. Let the record show that my wife was looking at me funnily. No, I have not felt your exact pain, sweetheart. Oh, we won't go into that. But for you, I've had pain twice that you never felt. So, okay, here we go. Yeah, okay, I'm not going to preach on that, but I bet there's a message in that baby somewhere. Not today? Oh, this is a little tweaky for John. I think John's going to grow up here. We're going to go ahead and speak this one. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah, I'm going to let everybody that listens to this imagine it on their own. So, okay, so sometimes we're excited, sometimes it's a burden and uncomfortable. And a pain, and we have to shift around to get comfortable, and some wish they never would have gotten pregnant, etc. You know, there have been people that sometimes in their spiritual walk that have just said, wow, my life, I've run into so many problems since I got saved. It was easier before I got saved. They're just not quite tracking. There's no doubt that the enemy comes in. There's no doubt that there's resistance. There's no doubt that there's things that try to distract and tear down, but they're nothing compared to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who carries us through. So, we shift around giving or in doctrine or in our denomination. But it's the Word that stretches us and prepares us. So, it's time to seek and find and deliver. Those who place God as highest priority will not be disappointed if we will only believe this. Took a long time to get to the message. I will be able to compact the rest of it because it was all in the first part, okay? But we come to the question we started out with, why did He come? And now we're going to look at, why did He die? Why did Jesus die? Jesus, from His own mouth, said, but all this was done that scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. He came to fulfill the Word. He came as the ultimate proof that what God says, God will do. God said through Isaiah, there will be a child born. God said that child, the government will be upon His shoulders. God said that that child would end up dying for our sins. So yes, He came to die for our sins, just as Scripture said that He would. His death is the ultimate proof, the ultimate witness of the ultimate love. Because He loved you and He loved me more than He loved Himself. He died for proof. Now we could say, well, why would we need proof? Doesn't matter whether we need proof. God needed to prove it. Because there were so many who doubted it. There were so many who refused to believe it. They had murdered the prophets that said it was coming, and now they were murdering the very Son of God. But it was in fulfillment of exactly what the Lord had said. He came that we might have life. The only way for us to have life was for Him to die. Now, if we can receive it, His death was a picture of what our life is to be like. Because although we are not called to die on the cross, we're called to pick up the cross. We are called to give up old things that need to pass away and allow all things to become new. In the process, as we have transitioned from one place to another place to another place in the normal process of this life of Christ, we have come to things that we had to choose to lie down and listen to the Lord or carry them around and miss the Lord. This transition, I'm not going to say, well, it's the very last transition, but apparently it's a transition that all of heaven is preparing for. And it's a transition in the people of God into this place with God to receive what God has prepared. He didn't say what is in their preparation or what is coming out of their preparation. But you get this sensing, I get this sensing, that they're excited about the transition. Maybe they've just got too much stuff. I heard Creflo Dollar say in a message this week, he said, I heard the Lord say I want to get rid of all my spare parts. And from that, he believed that the Lord was saying, you know, legs being replaced, hearts being replaced, livers being replaced, brains being replaced, things being replaced, what God wants, you know. I think that's part of it that's stored up. I don't know. But I do know that the Lord simply said, we are getting ready for transition. And then we have this question, this to answer in our hearts. Okay, do I desire that? Because you see, status quo isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. The way things are now are not going to work. The way things are now are not going to be enough to carry us. The way things are now will not stay the way things are now. So we are going to have the opportunity to move into that other place where things are better than they are now. Or we are going to end up sitting in the place where what is now becomes what is coming in the natural. The news people are not, and the economists are not necessarily wrong about what they are predicting. But we should not desire to take part in what they are predicting. And so what we have now is not good enough. We need to desire what God has. I know it's hard to imagine the horrible, the horrific, the awful act of his crucifixion being used as a picture of ultimate love. It looks like more of a picture of ultimate payment. It looks like a picture of ultimate punishment, but it's love. It is love. And on this day, when we celebrate the waving of the palm branches and the people crying out, "Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King of Kings, the wonderful Lord who is coming right now, according to what tradition has said, right now, this week we celebrate His march to the ultimate." Why did He die? He died for you. He died because it was the plan. Because it was the plan. He said to the disciples, he said, "What? Shouldn't I do what I'm supposed to do? What God says has to be fulfilled. This is part of it." He died to destroy the works of the enemy. Because if He couldn't die, He could not destroy the power of the enemy over death. Scripture would never have been able to say, "Death, where's your victory? Grave, where's your sting?" If it weren't for the fact that Jesus died to fulfill prophecy, to make a way that whoever believed in Him would never die. He died for a good reason. And His death was a tremendous point of transition. So you can go ahead and wait, because we're going to do communion as soon as I'm done. That's okay. No, you're fine. You're fine. But it was a transition point. It was a point of the acceleration. As He went into that city, things began to accelerate. Every time they hit Him with a whip, it accelerated, and the birth pains became greater. Every time when they nailed those nails, it was getting closer and closer and closer, and the transition was coming, and suddenly He died. And immediately went into the presence. His body was raised up the third day. His death was a transition into our life. The way. He made the way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," He said. He came. He came to destroy the works of the enemy and to give us a picture, a preview, a main event, so to speak, showing us a man living under the anointing of God. And as He came, the power of the enemy was subdued and stricken, absolutely powerless every time in His presence. And He said, "This is the way, you walk in it." And so then He died, because if He didn't die, He said, "It's to your benefit that I die. Because if I die, then the Holy Spirit will come." And that's what we will come to next, to look at why He was raised from the dead, and ultimately why the Holy Spirit came. But He died for you. He died for me. His death was an acceleration point in the plan of God. And now it's been 2,000 years, and there have been points of light, times of outpouring, different things that where the church went dark and the church came back to light, different times when the outpourings came, different times when healing became more manifest, different times where deliverance came more manifest, different times of the glimpses of the Holy Spirit and the things of God, and we've got these glimpses of more and more lights coming on, and now God's ready, I believe, for a new transition, for a new acceleration. I don't know where it's going, but I'm not missing the train. That's all I got to say about that. Father in heaven, thank You, bless You, praise You. Lord, give us revelation of what you have spoken, what you have in mind. Give us each the clearness of heart and the clearness of mind for our part, because it's us. We are going to transition into the place of receiving what you have planned for us. We welcome you, Lord, to produce what you have promised to produce. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.